VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Folks, we've got a packed program. We're going to be discussing Texas Power, the Green New Deal, the Paris Climate Accord, Agenda 2030. We're going to be discussing H.R. 1, the Keystone XL, Bill Gates, Article 5, and several other issues, Lord willing, we're going to make through our program here today. And so we're going to delve right into it. As you know, a major winter storm went through Texas, knocking out power to millions. While some say that global warming experts were too busy predicting warmer winters for Texas to see the snow, others like Senator Chuck Schumer are blaming last week's Texas power outage on the state's failure to address climate change. While some say the Green New Deal needs to be more actively pursued, the governor of Texas is warning that this is what the whole nation will go through if we accept the Green New Deal. So what about this outage? What about our energy independence? How does the Green New Deal enter into all of this? What's in store for the U.S. as we have now re-entered the Paris Climate Accord? And how does all of this relate to Agenda 2030? But we'll attempt to tie a lot of this together today. Tom DeWeese, our guest, president of American Policy Center, one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. Author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and Erase, a political novel. Tom, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
It's good to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
So let's begin with Texas. AOC has slammed Texas, saying this is what happens when you don't pursue a Green New Deal. And we got Schumer blaming the outage on the state's failure to address climate change. He said this, the bottom line is Texas thought it could go it alone and build a system that ignored climate change. It was not what's called resilient, and now Texas is paying the price. I hope they learned a lesson. Give us your take on Texas here, Tom.
Well, all that is incredible spin because the problem in Texas is that they have put a huge amount of their energy on the grid through solar and wind power, and which is exactly what they're calling for in the Green New Deal, which has been the whole center of their whole approach on energy. And it has been proven time and time and time again that wind and solar power do not provide enough energy to ever allow us to be nothing but that. And here you have in Texas, I'm thinking that the number they have is like 20% or something like that, but the windmills, froze up and, the solar panels were covered in snow, and so they weren't able to, produce any kind of energy whatsoever. And now you have the problem. It's the exact opposite of what their spin is.
Yeah, haven't we been warned by climate global alarmists in the past that the South would not have winters anymore?
So New York wouldn't have winters anymore.
Wow.
They keep predicting. You know, it's just, they've been saying this. They have the, you know how the Soviets always had the five-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
The environmentalists have the 10-year
plan. Yep.
Every 10 years, they have another dire prediction that if we don't do this in 10 years, then we go through that 10 years and, you know, the exact opposite happens, and over again.
Let me just point this out, because the New American just put this out February 22nd, where they talk about these 50 years of failed eco-apocalyptic predictions. 1969, New York Times, unless we are extremely lucky, everyone will disappear in a cloud of blue steam in 20 years. The situation will get worse unless we change our behavior. 1970, the Boston Globe, scientists predict new ice age by 21st century. Here's 1971, the Washington Post, disastrous new ice age coming. 1972, Brown University letter to President Nixon, warning on global cooling. 1974, the Guardian space satellite show, ice age coming fast. Let's move up to 1988. Maldives will be completely underwater in 30 years. We're past that, folks. 1989, UN official says rising seas to obliterate nations by the year 2000. Here's the year 2000, the independence. Snowfalls are a thing of the past. Our children will not know what snow is. Associated Press in 2008, NASA scientist says we're toast. In 5 to 10 years, the Arctic will be ice-free. On and on it goes, Tom.
Yeah, the World Wildlife Fund has been predicting the end of polar bears for over 10 years, probably 20. And the fact is that the polar bear populations are growing. And, you know, it's really funny. There's a joke in some D.C. circles, Washington, D.C. circles. Every time Al Gore tried to have a major news event to put out his latest dire predictions on climate change and global warming, there would be some kind of a blizzard or something. They started joking that that was the Gore effect.
Yes. Well, Tom, we understand it's, what is it, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas managing some 90% of the electrical capacity there. Do we know, is that an independent group? Are they government controlled?
Well, there's all kind of government regulations that go around it. I don't know all the specific details of it.
Mm-hmm.
There are these regulations there, and they, you know, we're putting these things in place step by step, the political correctness of it.
Yeah, so we have the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, saying this shows how the Green New Deal would be a deadly deal for the United States of America.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And the Green New Deal calls, that we, you know, and this is what they're pushing for, is that all energy eventually will be, by 2030, wind power and solar power. And as we've just pointed out, it's not possible for us to have any electricity in that case. And at the same time as they're demanding this, they're missing two major issues here. First of all, they want us all of our cars to be electric cars, and we have to pull up to pumps to or circuits to get more energy into the car and so forth. And they are completely ignoring where the energy comes to fuel those. It's coming from coal and gas power. And the other thing they're completely ignoring is that for the wind turbines to turn, they have got to have oil in them. And so these are policies that are being pushed by people who have absolutely no idea what they're talking about as they are forcing these things on us, because it is their agenda. And, questioning that, any time anybody questions it, then they become some kind of scaremonger and not to be listened to.
Tom, what should be our takeaway, our lesson from Texas? I mean, we sadly, there have been people whose lives are no longer in existence due to the frigid conditions, due to the issues that were going on and not being able to respond to electric power needs there in the state. The people have questioned coal and natural gas and so forth. We see the wind turbines freezing up here. What should be our takeaway as we examine Texas?
The takeaway should be exactly what's taking place in Europe right now, in England and France and other countries over there. They went along with all this stuff for several years and ended up with the same kinds of shortages of energy and massive costs of energy. There is now a drive in Europe to reestablish coal power and so forth, and that's exactly what we need to do, not only in Texas but across the country. Take the windmills and the solar panels and throw them in the trash where they belong.
Let's talk about the Paris Climate Accord here. President Biden rejoined the treaty. I'm sorry, it's not a treaty, really. I mean, it's this accord here. But the Paris Climate Accord, and this past Saturday, John Kerry, the climate czar, addressed the Munich Security Conference and told this very prestigious European event that largely because of President Trump, 3 of the 12 years that scientists said the Earth had left to act to mitigate this, these years have been wasted. Here's what he had to say. Let's listen in.
Ago, scientists warned that if we want to prevent the worst consequences of the climate crisis, we have to limit the planet's warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's the magic number, by consensus among most scientists. The same group of scientists told us that we had, 3 years ago, about 12 years. So now, 3 years later, 3 years wasted, sadly, largely because of our president in the United States, around 2030 is the date at which we have to get the world now on the right path in order to cap the warming at that level of 1.5. So we are absolutely, clearly, without question, now inside the decisive decade. We have to raise ambition. That is why President Biden moved to rejoin the Paris Agreement hours after he was sworn in on day one. It is a process that takes 30 days. That means that as of today, we are officially back in again. But in rejoining, we got to be really honest with each other. We have to be humble, and most of all, we have to be ambitious. We have to be honest that as a global community, we're not close to where we need to be. We have to be humble because we know the United States was inexcusably absent for 4 years.
Your comments on this, Tom.
What he is doing there is laying the groundwork for massive control. And, of course, they're using the fear tactics of climate change for more and more and more government control. As we've already pointed out, all these 10-year plans have all come to nothing. They're not true. There is absolutely no consensus in science. Science is not a democracy. It is a pure situation. And there are thousands of scientists around the world who completely dispute these global warming claims, and they have been shut off from science magazines, from grants, things like that, to keep them silent. And they put together this small little cadre of people who, a lot of them aren't even scientists, and saying, oh, here we have consensus. There's no such thing as consensus. This is all designed to scare us into accepting giving up our liberties, giving up our enterprises, giving up our way of life under this fear tactic. And that's what it's about. It has nothing to do with protecting the environment.
Now, let's keep in mind, this is John Kerry. And, Tom, this is the same John Kerry who back in 2014, he was in a meeting with the French foreign minister. They had a joint meeting, and here he said at that time, we have 500 days to avoid climate chaos. Well, we're well beyond 500 days since 2014.
And the climate chaos we have at the moment is coming from their policies. So,
yeah. Well, and now he referenced this decade, basically this decade of destiny, and talking about how we had 12 years, we've just squandered three of them now, we only have 9 years left, focusing on the year 2030. Does that have anything to do with something called this Agenda 2030?
It's absolutely that agenda. And of course, now the Green New Deal is the driving force behind it, but it's all this Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Green New Deal, all the same agenda, and it's all about control. And, you know, when you look at the Green New Deal, and it's got four pillars to it, and the first pillar of it is the Economic Bill of Rights, and guaranteeing full employment, guaranteeing a living wage, medical care for all, tuition-free education, affordable housing. What does any of that have to do with protecting the environment? Nothing. It is an economic control from the top, and the word we used to use was communism.
Wow. Tom DeWeese with us. We're going to take a quick break, and folks, we're going to come back. There's so much more on our plate here for today, including H.R. 1. We're going to get into some Bill Gates-related issues, Article 5 as well, and some other matters here on the plate. Matter of fact, President Biden has restored $200 million to the scandal-ridden World Health Organization as well. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how did Darwin come up with the idea of evolution?
Chris Charles Darwin was actually preparing to be a pastor. His real interest, however, was in the study of nature. Sometimes school kids are taught that Darwin was a believer in creation until he went to the Galapagos and saw that the facts of nature pointed otherwise. This is not true. Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, was a renowned scientist and poet back in the 1700s. He was also a vicious anti-Christian. In 1770, he began to promote evolutionary ideas. When Charles Darwin wrote his book Origin of Species, he repeated the main examples of evolution used by his grandfather. He rejected scripture in favor of his grandfather's evolutionary ideas, and thereby affected the whole Western world. How much better if he had gone back to Genesis and seen the truth that's recorded there.
Thanks, Dr. John.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is our guest here today on the program. We're talking Texas Power, the Green New Deal, Paris Climate Accord, Agenda 2030, and related issues here today. There's a lot that is going on. Tom, it's as if the floodgates have opened up.
Well, exactly. And, I mean, this is why there was so much anger, hatred for Donald Trump, because he was standing up for reason and trying to push back on these things. And, you know, if Hillary Clinton had been elected in 2016, they figured this was a done deal. They were going to just move on all this stuff. And that was why they were so furious about it. And that incredible hatred that they had for him, because he was blocking these things. And now they are just an absolute track meet to get it all in place just as rapidly as they can.
Let's bring in another issue here, and it's partly related to World Health Organization, COVID, so forth, and also Bill Gates. I mean, that all ties in together. We see that we have restored funding to the World Health Organization. President Trump had pulled that money, I think it's some $200 million, again, an organization that is scandal-ridden. And you also at the same time have, I mean, these all things intertwine with one another. We got Bill Gates saying climate change is an all-out effort like world war against greenhouse gases. So he's talking, kind of alluding to a next pandemic in 5 to 10 years, that we have to solve all these problems. And even with the recently introduced mRNA vaccine technology. So, Tom, we've got him tying all of these things together here, World Health Organization, COVID, climate change. These are not really separate issues. They're intertwined, are they not?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, one of the books that's selling right now, a bestseller book, is by Klaus Schwab, who's the head of the World Economic Forum, and the title of it is COVID-19, The Great Reset. The truth of the matter, Jim, is the situation with climate change is they were beginning to lose the battle. We were starting to make progress. People were seeing that all their 10-year plans were lies, weren't coming together, and people were not paying attention. And this was a desperation because the fear of climate change is the best tool they have ever had to create global governance and worldwide control. And they were beginning to lose that. They came up with this plan for a worldwide pandemic and the whole COVID thing. And, again, the new scare tactic. Now their scare tactic is every year we're going to have one of these things. You've got to toe the line. And, it's all tied together. And, you know, Bill Gates said that, shutting down the entire, economy wasn't enough to put all this this stuff in place. And what he said was, shutting down the economy is not nearly enough to stem climate change. We need to get rid of emissions from all the different sectors. And he addressed the National Academy of Medicine in their 2020 meeting, and he just laid it all out there. The change in behavior over the COVID lockdown, like driving less or flying less, is helpful, but nowhere near sufficient. 2020 is a great example of this, he said, but the reduction in emissions is actually quite modest, so that's not enough. And Klaus Schwab in his book on the Great Reset, he says right in there that, people are asking when can we get back to normal? And he said the short answer is never.
Mm. Wow. So Bill Gates is tying all these things together, basically, even with the pandemic and wanting to, in essence, have a worldwide response to global climate change as we did to COVID?
Yes. And they've been talking about this. I was reporting on this back in the summer as we were all locked down. They were having these Zoom meetings, and teaching activists to going into their local communities and so forth, and they're saying the line they were using then was, or teaching them to use was, we've got to flatten the climate curve, which is right out, what they were doing was taking the tactics out of the COVID lockdowns and using, and figuring out how to use them in all this. And it's interesting that, that Gates went on to talk about, this whole thing crosses many areas. He said, how we make electricity, how we make industrial products, how we grow food, cool our buildings, and all of transportation. That's everything, and that's everything you're seeing right now under attack by these programs.
Now, Tom, on this whole emitter as well, we're seeming to be back in relations with China here with I am looking here at the Epoch Times. The Biden administration should not allow Chinese regime to use climate change as a bargaining chip to extract concessions in other areas. There's a cozying up that's going on with China under the new Biden administration.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they have had that cozying up all through the Trump administration. And, Trump was fighting it. Trump was putting all kinds of limitations and restrictions on trade and so forth with China because they were such a threat. They're a massive military threat as well as economic threat. And these guys have been champing at the bit to get that relationship back. And that's what you see happening.
We were talking with Bill Gates and his push for this. Now, population control is also part of this agenda, is it not?
That's one of the main pieces and parts of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. There have been some environmental groups have even said the Earth can only sustain about 250 million people, but they've settled on 1 billion. That is the goal you hear talked about a lot through UN processes and so forth, 1 billion people. Well, that means we got about, what, 6 or 7 billion that got to go?
Yeah, wow.
How do we do that?
Yeah, and so we've got Gates saying here that all greenhouse gases in 30 years or else the world will be 5 times worse than the pandemic. Again, I guess this is the 30-year plan now. Troubling indeed what is happening there. There's another aspect of Bill Gates before we move on. And, Tom, I know that he's been pushing for everybody. Rich countries should start beginning to eat 100% synthetic beef.
Yeah, this goes back to, a year or so ago, the big issue was cow flatulence, causing global warming. So we've got to get rid of beef production and so forth. And so this just goes right along with that whole thing. And what a lot of people don't understand, the World Wildlife Fund, which is the most powerful environmental organization in the world, working directly through the United Nations, and they have said that one of the main threats to the environment is beef consumption, that we have got to stop this. It's incredible to learn that the World Wildlife Fund has succeeded in taking over the American cattle industry. They have created the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, which is the nation's largest association supposed to protect and represent the cattle industry, is part of this roundtable. And they are putting all kinds of rules and regulations on how cattle are to be grown and so forth that literally have put thousands of cattlemen out of business. And, of course, that's the goal. So you put the beef cattlemen out of business, and then you have 100% synthetic beef to replace it. That's the game.
Tom, I know you were with us here earlier. I think it was about the 1st of February, so we were talking about some of the matters going on, one of which was the cancellation, the stopping of the Keystone XL, and many just found it their jaws just dropped after canceling this Keystone XL and putting thousands of people out of work, eliminating thousands of American jobs and all the support jobs that go with it. All of a sudden, then his administration began negotiating a deal between the Taliban and one of the world's worst dictatorships for something called a transnational pipeline. How is it he can support a pipeline for the Taliban but cancel it here in the United States?
When you attempt to bring reason into the argument, it all falls apart. This is all political agenda. This is about supporting these kinds of organizations and so forth. And, we're starting importing foreign oil. One of the great achievements that Trump achieved was that we were now completely independent in our energy. We didn't have to worry about anybody else cutting us off, raising prices, whatever. We had control with our own sources. And now, in like a day, Biden comes in and shuts all of that down. What do you see happening at the pump? You know, the prices are skyrocketing now. It's only begun. And one of the big tenets of sustainable development is they would prefer that gasoline prices be between $4 and $8 a gallon, because that means you'll stop driving, and that's part of the sustainable goals of getting us out of our cars and being stuck in public transportation and bicycles.
And so what does he do as we, you know, we go back to Texas here, so we lose the power, and he's very much against fossil fuels, but what does he do? He rescues Texas by sending them fossil fuel generators. I mean, we understand the importance of what that is going to provide for us in this regard. Tom, I know some of these topics may be a little bit scattered, but we've got to bring them up. You have been following something else. Something known as H.R. 1. Fill us in on what H.R. 1 is all about.
H.R. 1 is the first bill that was put into this new Congress, and it was put in by Nancy Pelosi. It actually was originally put in at the beginning of the 2019 Congress, but they kind of knew it wasn't going to go through the Senate because the Republicans controlled the Senate, and so but they put it in anyway. Well, now they've done it again. And what this, to put it in its shortest form, to explain it, what H.R. 1 does is take all of the fraud that took place in this last election and legalize it, make it all okay. Ballot harvesting, you know, the voting at home kind of situation, the not being able to challenge ballots, the training voters in schools to vote at the age of 16. All these things are in this bill. And so it legalizes all these things that took place. I've got about 20,000 notes here on the thing.
Yeah, well, here, this bill, H.R. 1, is 791 pages long. And they talk about, I like the, you know, the title here, to expand Americans' access to the ballot box, reduce the influence of big money in politics, strengthen ethics rules for public servants, and implement other anti-corruption measures for the purpose of fortifying our democracy.
Now, and it does none of these things.
Yeah. Wow.
And first of all, we're a republic. Mm-hmm. It just irritates me. Every newscast you listen to, they call this our democracy.
Yeah.
But well, here's some things it does. It forces the states to implement mandatory voter registration, removing civic participation as a voluntary force. In other words, you have to be registered to vote. And it mandates the states to allow all felons to vote, forces states to extend periods of early voting, and it's been shown that this early voting has no effect on turnout, but it does have a big effect on fraud. Mandates same-day voter registration, which also encourages fraud. Limits the ability of states to cooperate to see who is registered in multiple states at the same time. Trying to clean the voter rolls. Nope, can't do that. I mean, that's just, you know, it's just insanity. It prohibits election observers from cooperating with election officials to file formal challenges to suspicious voter registrations. It bars states from making their own laws about voting by mail. This is absolutely unconstitutional. It's against the federal system that we have, that the states should be allowed to do that, and it gives, you know, absentee ballots for free.
Unbelievable, folks, but H.R. 1 making its way through the legislative process, as are other bills that we've been talking about here on Crosstalk. We're going to take a break. Back in a minute here on the VCY American Network.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese, our guest here today, president of American Policy Center, will be giving out his website info here in just a bit. Tom, we were talking about this HR1 and, you know, the chaos that we saw ensue throughout this entire nation with the discrepancies in voting and all these issues. You said that if this HR1 passes, this is actually going to be the norm for elections going forward?
That's the plan. It's all coming from, you know, it's a federal law that how elections are to be run. And as I said, it literally legalizes all of the fraudulent tactics that they used to steal this last election. And, you know, this puts it into concrete.
Isn't this a state's issue?
Yes. Yeah. These are national elections. But,
right.
You know, you're talking about Congress. Election of Congress, election of president.
Yeah, but when they're talking about, same-day voter registration, not purging the voter rolls, I mean, those are direct impacts upon the state as well.
Absolutely, and I mean, that's, we've seen all these various states, the Senate race in Georgia and so forth, all the tactics that they use there, all of that will become normal.
Where is this in the process? I mean, is this something going to be voting on?
Yeah, they're planning to bring it up after March 1st for a vote. And now we don't have the Senate to block it, and we don't have a president to veto it. So that's what we're facing. There are ways that we can stand up to this. And the states have more power than I think a lot of state legislators understand. And there is an ability to nullify these things, to say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen, and we're not going to follow. This is an illegal bill, an illegal law, and we're not going to follow it. But we've got to get enough legislators to understand that and stand up against it. But right now, if we can, you know, there are a few sane Democrats who are in office in Congress, and if we could get a few of them to not vote for this, we could stop it.
Well, Tom, I'm looking at the congress.gov website right now, and on this HR1, they're calling it For the People Act, and I've heard Congresswoman Gwen Moore here from Milwaukee area, she has, you know, talked about this For the People Act. There are 222 co-sponsors. That's more than half of the U.S. House, and every one of those 222 are Democratic. There's not one Republican that signed on as a co-sponsor.
Yeah, that's the situation. And when it was brought up for a vote in 2019, every single Democrat voted for it.
And the first name on the list is Nancy Pelosi.
There she is.
Okay, so the bigger battle though may be then in the Senate on this issue.
Well, absolutely, it's the only place we've got an opportunity. One good thing about in the House is that from this last election, they lost a good portion of their majority. They didn't lose the whole thing, but it's much closer now. So that is a positive stand that we have a chance to maybe hold the line. And there's only a two-vote difference in the Senate, so if we could, you know, put some pressure on your congressmen, on your senators, to not support this bill. I mean, look at it this way: let's say this went into effect, and somehow our side managed to get control. Now we have control of that bill. we could use it. I'm just saying this, you know, as an example, that Democrats should think about what they put in place, because sometime it could be used against them and no Democrat would ever be elected again if they put it in place. It is totally unconstitutional. And, you know, if there's any of them with any kind of morality left in them, they need to vote against this bill. This is the most important issue of all these we're talking about, because if this thing is put in place, our ability to fight back is really damaged.
Tom DeWeese with us here today. Tom, a couple more issues, and then we'll open some phone lines here. First of all, one of the hallmarks of your organization, American Policy Center, is that you advocate for America's sovereignty. And when I saw this story that came forth from the Daily Wire on last Friday, here's what it says. President Biden told leaders at the G7 summit on Friday, the same day that the U.S. reentered the Paris Agreement, that the days of America first diplomacy that were championed by President Donald Trump are now over. According to the New York Times, our days of America first are now over with the new presidency.
Yeah, well, this is their whole thing. Everything is about globalism. They're, all of these agendas, everything we're talking about, is about establishing a global government. And national sovereignty is absolutely in their way. This has been a major goal since the beginning, to get rid of a national sovereignty. Now along comes a Donald Trump running on America first. This absolutely tips their scales, and they're doing everything they can to bury that now, because you can't have America first and defend national sovereignty and put all these other policies in place.
Well, Tom, we're just going to get a comment from you on this other issue, and we're going to be pursuing, we hope, a full program on Article 5, but there are many who are saying with all of these things going on, this just shows that we need an Article 5 Constitutional Convention. Do you agree or disagree?
I adamantly disagree. And the people who are promoting this are not being honest about what they're promoting. We don't have to fix the Constitution. We need to start adhering to the Constitution. And what needs to be fixed are the politicians. And, they keep telling us, we can have an Article 5 convention, and they have this line they use that there's deep inside Article 5, there's this little hidden trap door that our founders put in there, that the states could call this convention, and the states could control what's debated there and discussed, and the states could decide who the delegates are. None of that is true. Once enough states call for an Article 5 convention, it is up to Congress to pick who the delegates are, and once those delegates are picked, convention becomes the most powerful force in this country, because they have no boss. They can go in, close the doors, and create a new constitution, and that's exactly what happened in our original constitution, and it's a precedent. And there are about 35 different constitutions that have been written that these guys are just anxious to put in place. One is a green constitution, you know, on and on and on like that.
Tom DeWeese with us. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Tom, you write about so many of these issues. You give warnings, and not just warnings, but just action steps, what people can do, that you put forth on your website as well. Give us info on your site.
Yeah. Our site is AmericanPolicy.org, and, of course, there's a large archive there of articles we've written on all these different subjects, and what we're working on now is fighting at the local level, that if we can control things in your own community, I've dubbed it a freedom pod. If you take your community and turn it into a freedom pod where local businesses are protected, where free private property is protected, and individual choice and so forth, getting the right people elected to your city councils and so forth, we have a lot more power at that level and at the state level. We've got some bills there and some training for state legislators as well. Then we can stop a lot of these things that are happening. And so we have a training program. We've got webinars, and we've got our new handbook, local activist handbook. and a lot of things in there about how to organize and how to fight back.
Folks, we're talking many issues today, Texas Power, Green New Deal, Paris Climate Accord. We're talking certainly Keystone XL, H.R. 1, Bill Gates, Article 5, and Agenda 2030. Really, they're all intertwined with one another, and taking your phone calls here today. Again, Tom's website is AmericanPolicy.org. Let's begin in Hayward, Wisconsin. Chris, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hi.
I just had a quick comment, and I wanted to reiterate something Brennan House said in regards to this population control thing you guys are talking about, Bill Gates and everything. I think if Bill Gates, you know, if he's so obsessed, and these people, these other folks that are so obsessed with population control, I think they should, like Brennan House said, they should off themselves, because that's just evil, you know, and they're obsessed with getting rid of us, you know. If they're so obsessed with it, let them off themselves, and that's my comment.
Hmm. Thank you for that, Tom. That's not normally the step that the person is willing to take.
Yeah, Brandon's an old friend of mine, and I have often said to environmentalists, when we get into some kind of debate over population control, you get in line first, the rest of us will follow. You first.
Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And I think it was Jacques Cousteau who talked about world population must be stabilized. To do that, he said we must eliminate 350,000 people per day.
When you got to get rid of 6 billion people, you've got to really dig in fast.
Wow. Let's go to David calling in from Santa Fe, New Mexico. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just had the question for Bill there. Is that, you know, fighting back locally like he's talking about, but just, we have a situation with this Dominion and everything else that happens, you know, beyond this absolute fraud of presidential, even the congressmen and senators. We don't know if they're real. If they were really properly elected.
Hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is where we have, for a long time, people from our point of view, we don't like government very much, and so we tend to stay away from it, and we let other sides kind of get in there and do these things. But if we had city councilmen who had our point of view, if we had gotten control of the Board of Elections and make sure how the elections are run and so forth, things would be a lot different. And this is what we're advocating. This is what we're trying to teach people to do. The other side has left no stone unturned. There is no position that they consider too small for their attention. And, when was the last time you heard anybody talking about how important the city attorney was or the state attorney? But these are the people who have been enforcing the COVID laws and so forth. So, you know, these are things we've got to look at and we've got to get involved in.
Thank you for the call here today. Appreciate it, David. Laura is next in Watertown, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. This is from the World, the New American, the July 4th issue. It's an article by James Murphy. And he's saying, according to the World Economic Agenda contributor Douglas Broom, lays out the case for eating weeds and insects to decrease the population, because the population is forecasted to grow by 2 billion in the next 30 years. The other thing in this article that he points out is that Americans are going to be drinking sewage. He says, and we'll also be drinking recycled water, which is otherwise known as sewage. Drinking this toilet water is absolutely going to happen, according to Australian environmental engineer Anas Gudani. It's already happening in parts of Australia. If anything, recycled water is relatively sweet. It's a no-brainer, said Gudani. It's what's going to happen. Mm. Now, this is all under the Great Reset, right? So how they're going to do this is we will simply need to be reappraise what we find repulsive. And commercial ads and social media will not only assure us, so in other words, brain control, psychological operation, mm-hmm. using the media to make you think that everybody's doing it, and that it's not only acceptable, but that it's also good for the environment.
Mm-hmm. Tom, quick comment there.
I'll tell you after the
break here. Yeah, it's kind of coming upon us here quickly. Yeah. Tom DeWeese with us. Thank you, Laura, for that. Part of the Great Reset, folks. Interesting times in which we live. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk. By the way, again, Tom's website, AmericanPolicy.org. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I spent hours listening to the keynote addresses from the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Conference. Hours, boring hours, listening to pull out the few nuggets. What were they saying that I call nuggets? Well, they were spilling their guts on what they really want to accomplish, which is global fascism. They were openly talking about merging big government and big business. They were talking about social credit scores virtually for American corporations and all corporations worldwide. Those corporations that obey the political correctness when it comes to radical environmentalism, social justice, critical race theory, and others, well, they'll be rewarded. They openly called for punishment on the corporations that don't obey. Understand, social credit scores are coming for individuals and for your small business, and they will punish you if you don't get in line.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is our guest today. Tom, that caller here before the break didn't paint a very pretty picture here of what's before us here, drinking sewage water and things like that.
See, this goes along with the fear factor that they live off of. And the more disgusting they can make things sound, so with the better they get, it's easier for them to get us to go, oh my gosh, we got to do something. I don't want to do this. We have to help. We got to do something. And so that's all designed on fear that none of it's true. And we don't have, like, for example, they keep talking about how we'll have no open space. The population keeps growing and so forth. Ever been in an airplane and fly over the United States? You know, there are vast amounts of area that nobody lives in, and that's just not true. And I'm glad she brought up the thing about using commercials. These public-private partnerships, these private corporations, these global corporations that get into contract with government to promote these policies are using their advertising budgets to get us to accept these things, and government gets to hide behind that, and these policies are being promoted in that way. So, that's a major part of it.
Let's go to Ruth in Wisconsin. Ruth, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to ask your special speaker if he thinks that President Trump will run in the next election.
2024?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what will happen then, but I know he's going to be involved up until then doing various things. I really look for him to create a new, perhaps a new internet or something on social media along there, and perhaps a new news network and so forth. I think that's where he's going to put most of his effort to begin with. And he's also, I already see him in South Carolina. He's involved in some of the Republican fights going on there right now. So
it appears he'll be very engaged in the 2022 election coming up here and seeking to flip the House of Representatives.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Ruth. Let's go to Angie in Kansas. Angie, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question for your guest speaker. You were talking about Article 5. Could you break that down a little better of how they could take and flip that again, please? Because I was driving and I didn't hear it all.
They are promoting Article 5 as that states can control the agenda at the convention. And, you know, they talk about, well, we're just going to talk about a balanced budget or, you know, some other situation. Now it might be voter integrity or something. But they say, oh, that could be controlled there, and you won't be able to completely change the Constitution or replace it or anything like that. That's not true. Once the enough states ask for a Article 5 convention, all Article 5 says is now Congress has a responsibility to call at that convention. And there are no provisions there about how delegates are chosen or what the agenda will be. And the truth of the matter is that once those delegates are chosen, then They go into their meetings. They become the most powerful force in the country because they have no boss. And they can sit down. Now they'll say, well, states have to ratify this. Take a look at what happened in the last election and tell me what's going to happen when they put together a new green constitution or some other thing that they've put together, completely throw out the old constitution and then the ratification process and how that'll take place.
How are you going to keep George Soros' money out of it?
Yeah. He's written several of them, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call here, Angie.
All right. Thank you.
Ron in St. Cloud, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yeah, Tom, I guess my concern is the media is no longer very objective, and there's, as far as all these things, they don't hold anybody accountable anymore. How are we going to counteract that in the future?
Well, this is why we're focusing on the local. I mean, our ability to change what's going on in Congress and so forth right now is pretty nil. For exactly the reasons that you're pointing out, and other things. But our founders designed our government so that the local government and local situation would have the least, or have the most amount of effect on you. It's supposed to be that way. That also that you would have the most amount of effect on them. And that part is still true. And there are all kinds of details and information on how we can get control, change the debate. Let me give you one example of how we can change the debate in your own community. Right now, the left changed the debate on elections and made it so, well, it's not fair to put these rules and regulations on there. That keeps people from voting, and we got to have illegals vote, and we need to have felons vote, and we need to have registration so easy, and on and on and on. They changed the debate, and everybody went along with that. We now have the opportunity to change the debate back because we've shown the fraud that is taking place there, and you have an opportunity in the local level to lead that and change the situation there and begin to change on your local level.
Appreciate the call, and we're going to have Tom. He'll be giving out his website address again and tell you more about these classes being held and instruction times on these issues. Thank you, Ron. We're going to move to Merle in Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I just wanted to say that it's obvious that God's hand that has been restraining Satan is pulling back. And when you take God out of the equation, everything becomes insane. Two doesn't add up. Two and two don't add up to four. It's five and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing, Jim, that beef situation with the beef, I believe it's part of the war on males because males need fat in their diet. They need beef. They need meat. Satan wants to make us passive.
Thank you, Merle.
There's a war going on, and we need to be in prayer, and I thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Merle. Tom, here in closing, if you would, just get out a word about the training, because sometimes people throw up their arms saying, what can we do? You've got action steps that people can do.
Yeah, and those are the very people that I'm focusing on. What can we do? We've got all these people that want to do something and maybe haven't been experienced in doing this. Our website, AmericanPolicy.org, you can read about several things we're doing. We're advocating creating your own community into a freedom pod. You'll see what I mean by that. At AmericanPolicy.org, we have our handbook, our local activist handbook, and we're putting together a toolkit on our website with all kinds of new information, and we're starting to work with some local and state organizations to help organize in your area. So we're moving forward. I'm getting a wonderful response to this from people. They're excited about it.
AmericanPolicy.org. And Tom, you also have email alerts that go out if people that can sign up for free on your website to get those email alerts.
Absolutely, yeah. It's right there on the website to sign up for it, yeah.
Again, AmericanPolicy.org is the website. Well, Tom, we've covered a lot of ground on a lot of different topics. They all interrelate with one another, and thanks for pulling them together here and being with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
And, folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.